This morning on the Kevin B Show, we have Dr. Drew coming in studio.
Oh, fine. Wow.
I'm excited about that. He's usually on the phone, but he's like, Allie, did you get your hair did?
I didn't. I just
actually
put it out. Oh,
no.
Didn't get our hair did. No, I actually didn't even brush it. Sorry, Drew. I would have had a chance had I brushed it.
Yes, you would have.
Okay. Kevin, can you hear me?
Where's the video? We're going to be on to the start peeking
in. So he's controlling it right now. He's in it.
You're logged in from your desk. There's Kim.
It's
on for a second.
Oh,
no, it's on for a second. He's probably like, oh crap, he saw me.
No.
Yeah. Because his video, he looks like he's in his room.
Yeah.
I'm just making faces at you guys.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing. It looked like you all of a sudden just popped on for a quick second. Sudhir, can you hear us?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep. Can you see us?
Yes, I can see you as well.
That's good, man. It's a good thing Kevin's working this thing. There you are.
Yeah. Is that Jane?
Yep. Can hear you perfectly.
I can talk about the mask around.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I need to turn my phone on.
So, Kevin? Kevin? Okay.
Are you calling me?
I haven't used my laptop at work. Is there a little trick into getting into the VPN so that I can have my remote?
You wouldn't use the VPN on site.
Oh, that's right.
So I'd say just connect to the Redlands Wi-Fi and then you can do Zoom from there.
So, should I use the city's Wi-Fi or the Red City where you have to log in?
What are you connected to right now?
Nothing. It says the city of Redlands Wi-Fi can't connect to this network.
No, use the Red City.
I have to put in a code. I can't think I remember it. It can't connect.
I emailed you the password.
I'm gonna run to my desk real quick.
Hi, Sadir. I think you're muted.
Can't connect to what?
To my remote, my desktop computer.
Oh, well, yeah, you won't be able to do that either.
I do. Can you?
So what? I'm gonna mute this one. So, what exactly do you need to do?
I was wanting to have access to my email so that if anybody was having some issues or anything like that, then they can go ahead and just email me.
You could pull up the email through the web app.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing. I'm not VPNing at all. I'm just using web app and internet access.
Okay.
Elizabeth? Can barely hear you. Oh, Jane, that's you. Okay. I can't hear you.
Is that better? Can you hear me?
It's very, very weak.
We have it cranked up to like 90 right now. And you still can't hear me?
Yeah, that's still.
I hope it's just regular drip coffee.
Yeah.
I'll put the change on your desk.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
My head is about ready to blast right now. So.
Oh. Do you need anything else?
Yeah.
I'll be on the call though.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Jane, is Ross on?
He's around.
Jane?
He's around, but he's in the office.
Was he able to contact Chris to get that wastewater return factor information?
I'll ask. From Chris? Information from Chris?
Right.
I texted him, so I'll check and see. Kevin?
Okay.
I still can't. It's not.
You, where is your microphone, Jane? Because you're coming, your volume is very, very low.
I don't know, Kevin.
Jane,
do you have a phone right next on the table or something?
I can hear you fine, Jane.
Or are you just communicating through your PC?
I'm communicating through the PC. I'm in the conference room.
Can barely hear you.
I can hear you fine, Jane.
Okay, Kevin can hear me fine. Lauren, are you able to hear me?
Hi, yeah, I'm able to hear you okay. I have a headset in though.
Something is wrong. Why am I having a problem? This should be coming on my phone. It'd be, let me check and see. Settings. Where are the settings on this one? It is on my phone, huh?
Sadir, do you mind if I mute you while I try and troubleshoot Jane's network connection?
I can hear you pretty good, yeah.
Not me.
Do you mind?
Go ahead. No, we have time still.
Okay.
Okay, Jane, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
It's not letting me go into the Outlook web app.
Okay, you're connected to Red City right now, right?
Correct.
Okay, go to like, open up Chrome and go to ESPN.com or something.
Yeah, I mean, I have internet.
Oh, you have internet access.
I have internet.
Okay, so then you're going to mail.cityofredlands.org?
Yep.
And the login screen comes up?
No. I'm going to keep trying. And it shows. It's just trying, so I don't know what to do.
Can you type in the full URL, https://mail.cityofredlands.org?
Yeah, and that's my usual, and when I tried that, I still keep getting, can't reach this page. Maybe I'll try with my phone and just put my data on my phone. I was just trying to avoid having to keep running back and forth to my desk, you know, in case there was any things that needed to be emailed or anything like that. So I can get in using my cell phone's data, but for whatever reason, I can't get on here. So it won't even get me to a login screen. I see that Ernest is on the line. And it looks like, Ernest, it looks like you're muted.
Good evening.
Hi, John.
Good evening, Jane.
Pretty good. How are you doing, Sudhir? Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Ernest is on. How are you doing, Ernie?
I think he's muted.
He is muted. I'm thinking that because he figured out how to mute, he should be able to figure out how to unmute and say hi.
Yeah, at least be able to comment.
You got a nice background there, James.
Thank you, sir. See, yeah. You almost look like I'm in the council chambers, huh?
It does. Sidney, Ross said that.
Yeah.
Call you.
I'm sorry?
Oh no, this was a message for Sudhir. Sorry. Ross said Chris was going to call you, Sudhir. Are you able to hear me, Sudhir? Are you still having trouble with
sorry?
Me? Are you still not able to hear me, Sudhir?
I got my volume on full and I can hear you still kind of on the low side, but I can hear you.
everybody else is able to hear me fine, right? John?
I can hear you. That's one reason that I use my earbuds, because they seem to be a more, I can hear more softer tones with them.
So do you hear everybody else? John, will you see if he can hear you fine?
Yes, sir, dear. How do you hear me?
Very clearly and loud, actually.
But it's
that's
just-
what that's what the earbuds and the microphone do, see.
But just
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich. So just the volume in the conference room here, you can't hear me very well.
No, that's what's going to happen, Jane, in the conference room. You're it's basically miking the whole room, which is kind of big and empty. So it's going to be lower, but I can hear you all right. If it might either raising your voice a little or just getting slightly closer to the TV would probably help.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Is that too loud for you, Rich? Okay. All right. Every time I see the grid up, I get the Brady Bunch song in my head.
Rich, what do you have for your background there? Teamsters, all that, yeah.
He's a local leader.
All right.
So we've got three members so far.
Jane, if you're using a hotspot to connect your laptop, you can. If you're using the hotspot, then you can use the VPN to remote to your desktop. So I don't know if that's if you're doing that or not. And then as far as taking this out of broadcast mode and putting it into, or I'm sorry, taking it out of practice and putting it into broadcast, is that just right at 6 o'clock or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And typically, you know, we're waiting for other people to jump on. So we have three out of, six, we have half the committee. And I don't see anybody else as far as city staff that's logged on. I think John Harris said that he was going to log on from his office. So now I'm just waiting for, you know, Ross and anybody else who was going to be logging in. Can you hear me from over there? No, okay. Well, we'll try saying hi from over there and see if Sadir can hear you. Because he had a hard time hearing me when I was sitting over here. So, Gotham's in the room now. Let's say hi to Sadir.
Hi, Sadir.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, huh?
All right.
Okay. I was trying to get logged in to my work email.
You're sitting in front of Golden Gate? Is it Golden Gate or?
Yeah, it looks like the Golden Gate Bridge there, huh?
Yeah, but magically,
I think that's what it is.
Somehow magically, it's not raining there in his picture when the radar shows lots of rain. So something happened.
And the sun is setting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the magic hour right now.
All rising, 1, 2.
So I ended up having to log in to on my cell phone because I told people that they could email if they were having any issues. So I'm just going to put my email. I just keep it open this way. I found. Kevin, I'm not going to mess with my laptop. I don't know why it's not working. So I'm just going to shut it down. I thought maybe this would make it a little bit easier, but I can't. My work laptop won't connect, so I just pulled it up on my personal cell phone.
There's Danielle's split personality again. How are you doing?
This is a good one. I'm doing good. How are you, John?
I'm fine.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Sudhir. Everybody's on?
Or? Not yet. No, we're missing.
Okay.
Still missing 3 members.
You'll have time, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Hi, John.
Who said that? Oh, hi, John. How are you?
How are you all?
John?
Yes.
I'm going to go over to my computer real quick and forward an email.
Okay. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Do you ever hear Matt and Chris on the return factors?
Yeah.
people on there?
So deer looks like he's in a nice spot.
Yeah.
We're all envious of where
he was. He was 84%.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, John?
I'm fine.
Good. Good to see you.
Hey, Dick.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We got video tonight somehow. I don't know, from myself.
We see you.
Yeah. I see you guys, too. In my dark room here. Well, that's nice. It's the first time I've had video in any of these meetings for and myself showing up, so a little different. Hope I don't lose it.
So, wonder where Monty is. He's usually right here.
I just sent a text to Monty, so hopefully he'll log on or he'll respond.
He just texted me that his Zoom is not connecting.
Oh boy.
He says, his Zoom is not opening, or am I in? And I just text him back, yes, so.
Well, Christine isn't on either. She's normally on.
Christine's here.
There she is.
Oh, she is? I haven't seen her. Okay, maybe I got to open the view. Gallery view. Okay, good.
Oh, on my screen, she's over there in the left center.
There you are, Christine. Hi. And Ernie's on? Ernest?
Ernie hasn't responded yet. He's still got his... There he goes.
There he goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Ernie.
Good.
The only thing that doesn't work is my video. I get the hand-me-down laptops for my daughters. But yeah, at work, I get the most, you know, high-end computer equipment. But at home, nope.
John? John?
Yes?
Do you want to ask, since Monty seems to be responding to you, do you want to ask if he needs his invitation to be resent?
I didn't quite understand you.
We need to resend him his invitation.
Can I resend it?
Kevin, logged into. Kevin? Are you hoping to resend that invite to him just in case?
I just sent it to him. I'm not sure that he got one for this meeting. It doesn't look like he did.
There we go.
There we go, yeah.
All right.
Sorry, internet.
Oh. Monty, you found the missing link.
Oh, that was fun.
All right, looks like we have everybody here for the...
Jane, you're kind of coming in marbled or modeled and somewhat broken up.
Looks like we have everybody here for the UAC.
That's right, yep, we got them all. So are we, then we should officially start? Can you then take the attendance?
What do you want me to put it in broadcast now for the attendance call, roll call?
Kevin, thank you.
Okay. Broadcasting 3, 2, 1.
That means we went live someplace, huh? Okay.
Are we on national TV?
I think it's worldwide. It depends on who hops in.
World Wide Web.
Here.
John James.
Here.
Who is that?
I'm calling you.
Oh, yeah.
Are you here?
I really are having a hard time hearing you, so I don't know if John Harris will also have problems with the video, the audio. So.
Okay, I'll try to speak a little louder. Monty?
Here.
Ernest?
Here.
Whit?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum of 6 members.
So all of the members are here. Then we will go to and call the meeting officially to order and ask Jane, has there been any public comment written or otherwise?
No, there has not.
Okay. Is there any member of the public who is logged in?
Kevin and the attendees, are there any non-participants or members of the public that you can see?
There's currently 2 attendees, so those would be public listeners, I believe.
Okay, very good. Again, we don't have the ability to actually get them on video or on audio, but we can. But they are just here to listen. Is that the status?
That is, yeah. As far as I'm aware, that's what they're doing. They are only listening.
Okay, thank you. Then the next item on the agenda would be approval of the minutes. Jane has sent those out later this afternoon, or earlier this afternoon, I mean. Everyone had a chance to look over them. If so, I would entertain a motion for approval.
I have a question.
We'll do the questions.
I have a clarification needed on the clarification of 6A. So I'm just curious, are all homes going to get 1-inch, or are you saying that they're not unless they're new development?
What I'm saying, what we tried to clarify last week was that new development generally is needing to have new development to meet our new 1-inch meter to meet fire flow protection. So there will be some occasions where there will be a 3/4-inch meter, but a great majority of those are going to be 1-inch meters.
So I'm still a little confused. Are you saying that the 3/4 inches are eventually going to be changed to 1-inch?
So let me see if I can clarify. So as the city replaces meters, we're replacing them size for size, unless there's a request from a resident or a business owner for a particular size. So if there's a 3/4 inch meter and the city decides that we need to replace that meter, we're going to put another 3/4 inch meter in the vast majority of the cases. For new development, they'll have to show that they can meet the fire flow requirements in the California Building Code. We believe that in most cases for residential structures, that's going to require a 1-inch meter. There may be some few exceptions where a person might be able to meet that fire flow requirement with a 3/4 inch meter, and that would be fine.
Okay, that's what I understood. I just want to make sure because the minutes were confusing me a bit. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments or questions on the minutes? If not, then anyone have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes by Monty. First, second by Rich. Let's see, I guess Jane, you get to call the roll.
Christine Roque.
Aye.
John James.
Yes.
Dick Cornier.
Yes.
Monty Cole.
Yes.
Ernest Marquez.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Minutes are then approved. So then the next item is continued business. Again, we have presentations or representations, I guess, of water, wastewater, non-potable, recyclable water rate models by staff and Sudhir or Raftelis. So you all are up. You can decide who you want to go first.
Maybe I'll just kick it off just to kind of recap where we left off at the last meeting.
Could I ask that you get closer to the computer or something? I'm having trouble hearing. I don't know if everybody else is or not.
I am too, yeah. Having a lot of difficulty hearing.
Can you hear me okay if I sit here?
There's some kind of, like you're almost in underwater or something. Hmm. I don't know what that is.
Kevin, do you
have... I would pay to attend that meeting.
So it's almost like there's a feedback or something, I think, is what causes that.
The only thing I'd say we can do to improve the audio in there right now, if you have the conference phone,
yeah,
you can in the lower left-hand corner for where the mute button would normally be. You can switch to phone audio and then dial one of those numbers that it should give you up on that screen. And then once you're connected, you should be good to go.
Okay, give us a minute while we try to set that up.
Whoever was speaking was coming through okay. Whoever was just speaking was coming through okay, though.
I'm actually at home. I have my laptop right near me in a room separated from my children, so.
Okay, well, I think everybody else is coming through okay also. It's just the people in the conference room there.
It didn't let you. You don't have a participant ID there coming up on that.
It should be on the screen, Jane. You go to the upper left-hand corner and click the little shield.
Okay. if that's not there, I can promote you. It'll just show as two different participants, really. I'll have to watch it.
Okay.
So is that what we want to do?
Yes.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You could press star 6 to unmute.
Kevin, is there going to be a feedback loop if they don't mute
yes,
the computer?
They're going to have to mute the computer.
There you go.
Is that better?
The first part of the echo was fine.
How's that? How is that? Are you hearing us okay now?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, I think that's right, yeah.
I think we'll just have to speak up because we have the Zoom screen muted and we're talking and we're hearing you through the conference phone. So somebody wave at me or something if you're not hearing me. All right, so just kind of to recap where we left off, or at least where I believe we left off, and correct me if you disagree. I guess we'll start with the what appears to be the easiest fund first, and that's the non-potable fund. We're proposing no rate increases for 5 years, and I don't think we really talked about any other scenarios for non-potable water. Would the committee agree?
Yes.
At least agree that that's where we left off?
Yes.
Okay. Wastewater next. I think the primary rate scenario that we just spent the most time discussing was 15% increases in years 1, 2, and 3. And 5% increases in years 4 and 5, and taking on the $20 million and then $25 million in debt. And then
I disagree with that. I think it was 15% for the first 2 years and then to reevaluate it after that. Maybe that was your recommendation, sure. But okay. Maybe that was your recommendation.
You make a good clarifying point there, and you know I stand behind that recommendation that the committee is not obligated to recommend rates to the City Council for anything longer than a couple of years. So Dick's absolutely right. But if you looked at a five-year rate adjustment scenario with the facts that we have today, we were talking about 15, 15, 15, and 5 and 5. But you're right. And I know I want to talk about these more in depth, but water. Where I remember us leaving it was no rate increases for years 1 and 2 and 4% rate increases for years 3, 4, and 5 with $20 million in issued debt. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. Sadir, do you remember what year that was in?
Yeah, in 24.
Okay. So that's where I know it was a lot of information to digest at the last meeting, and I apologize. I had an orientation with the new city council members that led right up to the beginning of this meeting, and I understand there might have been questions that were asked via email right before the meeting. I hope those questions were resolved. If not, we can certainly do that now. But Mr. Chair, I'd turn it back over to you for further discussion about those rate scenarios.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to, I guess, as a beginning point, we talked about the rates as you discussed. We also talked about the, the possibility or the desire to have the committee reconvene toward the end of this calendar year, or the first part of next calendar year, to relook at where we were and to be, and then to be able to go out to maybe years 2 and 3.
Yeah, and that would still be the intent that we would reconvene this committee later in the year, in this calendar year. After the master plans are complete, and we could revisit rates beyond, at that time again as well.
Right. And I think, for me, I think that's a very important point. But I think that's an accurate background of where we ended up last time. So move on.
So I think it's just an open dialogue and conversation at this point about the rates. And should we just start at what appears to be the easiest, the non-potable rate? Does anybody feel the need to discuss, you know, not raising the rates in non-potable?
Well, I'd like to bring up a general point about, and that I did the last time too, which was, I'd like to see sometime that we consider a CPI, consumer price index rate increase, or something standing like that, that applies to maybe all of these, to be honest. But it, with respect to non-potable, does that require a change in the whole philosophy?
In terms of an annual CPI adjustment?
Yes.
You know, I think that would be a matter for council to consider, and if that's your preference, you know, I'd encourage you to at least start that dialogue with council when you make your recommendation. And it wouldn't just apply to the non-potable, it could be for all of the rates if you feel strongly about that.
Well, I think, you know, you in the rate models, and I did get into the rate model. Thank you, John, for providing that to us a little bit. By the way, Sadir, it's a very comprehensive model, very fairly easy to walk through, actually, I thought. So that was a good job you did on the model. But for O&M costs, we've increased those in the model. The costs have been increased by CPI or some level for power and for chemicals and for salaries, et cetera. And I think ultimately we need to bring that back to be able to fund or to get rates adjusted to cover those. Now we do have we do have large balances, unrestricted balances in a couple of the funds, water and non-potable. And maybe we want to draw those down before we do this, but after a few years, it seems to me we should have some way to recover a cost that are increase based on the consumer price index for LA area.
But doesn't by definition of the UAC meeting every 2 years and going element by element as in the model, doesn't that automatically address that issue on a component level as opposed to a blanket CPI?
That's a good point. Basically, you're right. Since we are doing these rates every 2 years, and we've already got the inflation factors built into the model, it doesn't make that sense to have an additional CPI inflator as well. If we want to do that, we'd have to zero out all the inflation factors that we have in the model, so then you would be able to increase your rates by CPI. And generally speaking, agencies that do that kind of have a longer term, 5 years, you know, in mind when they do that. Since we are reviewing our rates every 2 years, Dick, think it's probably, I don't know if it's very practical to do CPI on top of what we have already done.
Before this meeting, I asked when our last rate increase was for water. It was 3 years ago. And wastewater was 3 years ago. So we're not doing it every 2 years. Now, maybe we will in the future, but I just want to make sure somehow that these types of things are considered. And I understand that the amount of rate increase in this model does show that because you have increased that and the amount of revenue you need and the rates adjustment are there. But to have no rate increase for several years for non-potable, I guess we're just drawing down revenues. We have more than enough revenues. We're saying to do capital improvements and cover O&M and everything for 5 or 6 years. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. In general, to have a CPI adjustment, the thing is we would have to, in that case, you have to basically notice that through your Prop 218 notice that that's what you're planning to do. And then in terms of how we present the model, we would have to eliminate those inflation factors that we have into the model right now. So, you know, it's a good point. I think many agencies are doing their CPI inflation to at least increase their rate minimally by whatever, 1-3% every year. The reason why we didn't increase our rates, I think last year we went through and, for whatever reason, the council and the UAC decided not to have any revenue adjustments because of various factors on the wastewater side, especially, and on the water side, we didn't want to see that. And again, this year, this time, we are looking at water, again, not trying to do any revenue adjustments for 2 years, so that's partly a political consideration given the current climate.
Yeah, I'm not talking about it on this cycle, basically, but I'm talking about it as in a general philosophy going forward. In terms of the non-potable water we're talking about, I saw in the model that there's $330,000 per year that it appears to be offsetting wastewater treatment plant costs. Is that true or not true?
Right.
So the wastewater
that treatment plant... That is the revenue that you pick up.
The wastewater treatment
you
plant
pick up from Mountain
revenue.
View.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I said the revenue you pick up from Mountain View.
From Mountain View? Is that's the revenue that you're talking about? Oh, the $330,000 is just from Mountain View. Okay.
Yes.
I also noticed that for the development impact fees, which are collected, that partially offset the capital improvement program, the development impact fees for recycled water was only assumed to be $30,000 per year. Do you charge a development impact fee for recycled or for non-potable water?
You know the answer to the question.
It's
a water capital improvement charge. But
answer so we can hear you.
No, let me go grab my sheet. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
John.
I think if you've got that built in the model, it should be part of the revenue stream and probably reflects a small number of additions to our customer base.
Let me just say one other thing I also asked what the last time the development impact fee was changed, and that was 2014. So we're not keeping up with developer impacts, and that is, so we're collecting less money from developer impact fees that would partially offset the rate increases for what we're talking about going forward with. I know that's not part of the study. I realize that, but this does offset some of the rate increases. If we were current on our development impact fees, we potentially would have a slightly lower rate increase.
One thing I would just offer,
as I said,
on the development impact fees, I would just offer the fact that they are highly variable depending on the flow of development within the city. And so it's not as constant as perhaps setting a rate. So any assumed revenue should probably be set pretty conservatively.
I got a question here. I know, Mr. Cornet, you did talk about the index. There at the, where I work, we use the construction cost index, or the ENR, of 20 city average. And that seems to do pretty good. Maybe we should take a look at that, maybe tie it to that.
We're actually in the model taking the capital improvement costs and escalating them by CCI.
He's talking about diff revenues.
But the CCI doesn't cover everything where the construction cost index does.
No.
If you have to build new facilities, it'll cover you.
I'm sorry. I said CCI, as in construction cost index. We use that to inflate the CPI costs in future years.
So you know what it is next year?
We use a 20-year average.
Wow, how do you, I'm just a little amazed that you use a 20-year average. But you know, because every year it fluctuates and you could, you know, either go low or go high.
Right, it's a it's an input in our model that can be changed in every year. But if you're talking about just for the revenue adjustments, I mean, that's something like Sadir was saying, we would have to change the model to reflect that.
Yeah, I think that we are using 3% right now for inflation factors. And as I said, it's based on a longer term average. And you're right, every year it can change. And since we are, again, basically planning for 2 years, we expect that it should not be significantly off in terms of how we determine the revenue requirements for the next 2 years.
Okay, then if we're just talking about 2 years for the non-potable water and looking at the graphs and how much money we have in the bank, so to speak, there's no reason for a rate increase if we're going to consider it in another 2 years. There's no reason for a rate increase. I would move. Do you want an action, John, on each one of these or what?
We want an action after we have to have these discussions. It's down there in the next item for new business.
Are we there? I thought we're there now.
No, we're still in continued business. We're going over what we talked about last week.
Well, I'm bringing up new items.
yeah, you are.
New items.
Yes, you are.
So, you know, what we talked about last week, we talked about. Now let's talk about what you gave us information. We considered the slides and we considered the model and
well,
providing some comments on what I saw. That's what I'm doing.
If I could offer something up, maybe as we go through the funds, if we could just understand if we have a general consensus on a rate for each of the funds, and we could take a formal action later in the meeting, that might be the best way to move forward. But it's up to you, Mr. Chair.
I think that's a good way to go. Yes.
So I just want to understand that if we do the 2 year, then the next UAC is not going to be locked into year 3 at 0, year 4 at 0, and year 5 at 0, if we only do 2 years?
Yeah, no, so the way it would work would be same process when this committee reconvenes later this year as we're going through now. Whatever your decisions are today, you would make a formal recommendation to the City Council on behalf of the committee. That recommendation, there would be a new recommendation when you reconvene later in the year, and it might change the picture looking forward. Ultimately, it's up to City Council to adopt rates, but you know, they would weigh heavily on your recommendation.
But we're only doing 2 years at a time, and the next UAC is not locked into what we're kind of thinking about, right?
No, I would say they're locked into it. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
I would say that's correct. Yeah, I think that's one of the things I was looking at in looking forward. There's a lot of discussion what we should or shouldn't do, and there's a lot of, I think, data missing so far still, including the master plans. Those will be available. The actuals for the end of this year, fiscal year, will be available in December or January, coming up in, you know, December of 21, January of 22. This committee meets, let's say, in January of 22. They could essentially go back and recommend to council, yes, we recommended that you do no increase, but now we're recommending that you maybe do an increase for 23 or 22. Okay, it's if it's at zero, it's easy to improve it. If it's, you know, if we say implement a 5 and then knock it back or something, that's, I think, a little bit more problematic. But going forward, certainly we can look at years 3, 4, 5, and you know, whatever out there.
John, if I could just jump in and help a little bit. Christine, you're only ever locked into what your 218 notice says the rates are going to be. And by doing a new 218 process and a new 218 notice, you can set whatever rates you want in the future, as long as you are have the background information, such as what Sadir provides to us, to support those rates. So no, you're not locking future boards or councils or anyone into future rates. if they do a new 218 process.
Okay.
Could I have one clarification on what you consider a fiscal 22? Is that 22/23 in terms of calendar years, half of 20?
Starts on July 1st of 2021 and ends on June 30th of 22.
Okay. All right. So
it's FY21-22.
FY22, say that once more, please. FY22
is FY21-22, yeah. Starting on July 1st of 21, ending on June 30th of 22.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear on what you're doing there. So, I mean, if we're, but we are talking about a 2-year increase, and that would take us through fiscal year 23, would it not?
23, basically. Yes. Okay. So, it takes you through June 30th of 23, yeah.
So, why would we be
part of the reason? Sorry, go ahead.
So I don't know, why are we meeting at the end of this year to do another rate increase or review? I mean, I guess it's just because of the master plans. I assume that, but in any case, I thought we were talking about a 2-year rate increase or no rate increase. That's what I would say that my recommendation would be for the non-potable for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The driver for reconvening later in the year would be to revisit after the master plans are complete to see if there's a need to substantially change the CIP.
Or the rate recommendation or the second year of the rate increase we continue to have no rate increase. I mean, it's to kind of reconfirm the second year of any rate adjustment, I guess.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So if there is some substantial project that comes out of the master planning process that we're not anticipating or that we're not aware of now, you would want the opportunity to consider that sooner rather than later.
Okay, so going back to where I think we are, we're kind of discussing all of the rates, all the different funds, and at this point, Dick, if I understand you correctly, and if we look at everybody else, I'm in favor of, without doing a formal vote right now, we'll do that later, but is there seem to be a consensus on the no rate increase for non-potable water? Don't see any disagreement with that, so let's go on to the next one, either wastewater or water.
Yeah, I would suggest that we talk about wastewater next. And the primary scenario that we talked about at the last meeting, again, looking out 5 years, would be a 15, 15, 15 in 2 years of 5% adjustments with the debt that Sudhir mentioned. That's my recollection of where we left it at the last meeting.
And for just to add a little bit more clarification, the 15, 15 in the first 2 years would basically go toward funding the debt we're going to incur to actually fix the wastewater treatment plant by 2025, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there might be able to answer the technical question, but I believe, yes, that's the way the model is set up.
If you can see my screen, we are looking at, here is the 15% for the 3 years. And 5 cents subsequently. I mean, we are only doing first 2 years anyway, but you can see here how the, and we got debt issue in 20 million debt issue in 22, followed by after two years, another 25 million, and then 7 million in last year. And then this is reserves. So again, we are only looking at the first 2 years, which is 22 and 23, after 22 and 23.
Okay.
I'll just note in this case also that the developer impact fees in the model show $190,000 per year, steady throughout the model years. Again, that is a number that hasn't been increased since 2014. And it seems probably low compared to what it should be if it was current. And it would offset any some part of the rate increase for the capital improvement program.
That's a good point, yeah. Typically, you should, we should review connection fees or impact fees every few years, yeah. Yeah, typically 5 years to make sure that they aren't.
Is that part of this commission's responsibility, John James?
We have not done that in any of the UACs that I have been in. I don't know exactly where that fits in the city's approval processes. I've done it on the city council. We didn't even review them in planning commission, so I'm not sure where they actually get looked at. I think it might be a recommendation that the pertinent body actually look at those. I don't know that we would. I don't know that it would be something UAC would do. It's I don't think that's in the way the code reads, but it doesn't mean that we couldn't do that or recommend it. Charlie, you have any input on this as to where those DIF fees actually get started?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head as well, John. I think it would be appropriate for this committee to recommend to the city council various specific rate increases or adjustments, and perhaps also making the recommendation that we look at updating the DIF and doing a new nexus study at some point in the near future.
Okay.
John. And we should have that ready before we go through the next rate increase.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
This should all be done. This developer impact fee analysis should be done before we consider the next 2 years of rate increases, since it hasn't been considered in this one, really.
Okay.
I have a few questions. So I'm curious to know, and I'm going to read my question off my paper since I wrote it down. So why is the current proposed wastewater rate more than the original from 2019 at 11%? If some of the improvements had already been done or completed through phase 1A and B?
John, do you want me to take that or?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay, so last year we were planning 3 increases of 11%. First of all, because we didn't do any revenue adjustment, obviously we lost that amount of revenue, so you're going to a higher revenue requirement. Plus, we have revisited the CIP again, so we are looking at it afresh. But the major impact is anytime you delay a rate revenue adjustment, it's going to have an impact subsequent years. It actually compounds. So you lost at 11% on the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, and fifth year. So if you're looking at a 5-year span, you lose a lot of revenue by not having a revenue adjustment, by having a single revenue adjustment in time.
Okay, I understand that. But when we met last, I guess it would have been February, we kind of asked about all these things, and we were told by city staff everything would be okay. So it just, you know, it's, I guess, disheartening to know that, you know, it's really not. So that's why I'm concerned, you know, right now about that.
Let me just give you my recollection of where we are. I think you're correct, Christine. But what's happened, we had the emergency failure of the membrane filters, and that got funded through the reserves. So the reserves now are at a lower level than they were when we last left. And also we had Parsons, to my understanding anyway, just do an update on their recommendation of what it's going to do to fix the rest of the plant. And I think so what we have is to not only recover the reserves that we spent on the membranes, but I think we also got a higher estimate as to what the total is going to be for the entire plant.
Right.
And that raised, if you look now, we're kind of at looking at 20 and 25 million in debt. Last time we were only looking at 35 million in debt with 10 million coming from reserves. So we've actually increased the amount of the total project. I think that's because of the recent evaluation by Parsons. So staff can correct me or add to that if they would.
John, I can add to that a little bit of, I just barely arrived on the scene when all of this was happening, but my recollection, Christine, is that the decision was made, the plant was, could possibly fail at any moment. And we wanted to do the first phase and get the new membranes in place while we were exploring the future phases. And as this body has rightfully said, hey, where are our master plans and how does everything fit in? Well, we were even two steps removed from master plan last year in that we weren't sure exactly which way we were going. We just wanted to stabilize the plant. So I know the information I received was that we were going to do the stopgap measure of getting the membranes in place. And I can tell you, we had a lot of work to do to even meet the schedule that we did, especially when COVID hit, because we were worried about them being stopped at the border coming from Canada. So that was part of the reasoning behind the recommendation to delay when we were in a better, when we had more information to really have an understanding of what was necessary at the plant. The other thing is that when you look, going back to what Sadir was talking about, you had 11% and 11%. So after 2 years, you're talking about a 22% increase. What you're seeing now is a recommendation for 15 in second year. So it's actually lower when you look at the cumulative nature of what you were facing before. And then the numbers dictate having to go to 15 in the second year now. So if you put it, if you frame it like that, the second year expenditure of what people would be paying is actually going to be less this time around. Now, the future CIP needs are going to dictate the other costs. Hopefully that helps.
It does, thank you. And then my second question is the 4.4 funding only for design? Or is that for actually doing something?
So you're talking about the 4.4 cost in year one of the CIP?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the design work for Parson to design phase two improvements for the plant. It does not actually construct anything.
Okay, and then my last question for now is what would it look like if there was no debt?
I think that's best shown in the model, Sadir. That might be easier to see in real time in the model.
On the left part of the screen here, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the left part of the top screen.
Right there.
Left part of the top screen.
Yeah, if you don't issue any debt, you run out of cash.
Yeah, but what would the rates be?
The rates are still going to go up 15% each year. But that doesn't help you because you don't have any cash to do your CIP. So the rates would be the same as we have calculated because that revenue adjustment is 15%. The rates would be essentially the same. We don't have the debt service anymore, so they might be slightly lower because of that. But the bulk of the increase comes from the 15% revenue adjustment.
Sadir, she's asking how much higher would the rates have to go to make your lower left chart work out?
So you want to look at basically is, if you don't have any debt, we zero out the debt here. And then you can see your reserves going down. So let's try. And you can see even the 50% increase in the first year, you need another. That doesn't help.
Okay, I got it. That's good. That's good enough for me.
I got a question. What did you use for your, over the 5 years, what did you use for your population growth? What percentage?
Kadir, did you hear the question? It was a question about population growth throughout the...
Yes, I'm looking at the assumption that we have in the model for growth.
It's a half a percent.
Yeah, looking at a half percent, which equates to about, I think it was 50 new connections, was it? So you'd see an increase of about 120 connections per year.
Okay, thank you.
That seems okay. Very low.
Is it the number of water meters?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear who was talking.
I would say that looks very low to me.
I'm looking at about 120 new connections per year.
And that information comes from the Urban Water Management Plan.
I got one more question. Does that population growth match up to your general plan for the city of Redlands?
I was on the council and I was on the also on the general plan development. I don't recall exactly what it is. I can tell you that for the, you know, in the past history, the recent history of Redlands, 120 homes or 120 connections is about what we've been doing. We have very slow growth here right now.
Yeah, but
what's going to happen with the transit villages? I don't think we know the answer to that yet.
So again, does anyone know, staff know, that does that population growth that is Sadir is using, does it match up with the general plan? Or is the general plan, you know, just outdated and this model is going to be more updated?
Truthfully, we don't know the answer to the question as we sit here today. We can probably find out before the end of the meeting, though.
And I would say that the general plan is not as outdated as it once was. I believe we probably finished it in about, what was that, 15, 16, 17?
It got adopted in 17, I believe.
Yeah, so yeah. It's newer than the DIF fees.
And then commercial development on top of that. I don't know what the assumptions were on that.
You're looking at the same above a half percent growth rate. So depending upon the number of commercial customers that we have, you know, that 120 connections that we see includes both residential and commercial.
Okay, well, that could be something, again, we look at in the 12-month period coming down, you know, for the next reconvening of this committee.
Right.
I just have one more question on the wastewater. Is MUED truly going to apply for the SFR loan?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the plan. We would get the better rate that way, obviously. And Sudhir has set the model up and the proposed rate so that we were positioned well to apply for those funds.
So then would that mean that the next UAC possibly could lower the funds if we only do the 2 years? All right, lower the rate if we only do the 2 years?
Yes, I think basically if you are able to get SRF funding, you would reduce your debt service overall, and that would have potentially have an impact on reducing the revenue adjustments that we talked about, yes.
What year does the bond have to be issued for the treatment plant, the first bond, $20 million? What year is that again?
It's in 22, fiscal year 22, so in the coming fiscal year, yeah.
I have some information from the general plan. I looked it up, and it's estimating 0.8% annual growth rate over the next 20 years. That's the population to grow to 79,000 in 2035. So 0.8% annual growth is pretty slow.
And you've got 0.5 in the model, is that correct?
I'm not sure if we're looking That's at right. the same document or not. Ours is from the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan.
Okay.
Also, we should not confuse annual growth rate with connection rate also, because you'll have typically more than one person in the household, so the population can grow faster than your connection rate will grow.
And I don't think we put the transit villages in that plan specifically. Is that right?
That's correct. This was adopted in 2017. John James is correct. And the specific plan has not even been adopted yet. We still have to do environmental before it would be adopted. So we're maybe a year away from that. Then we would have to realize projects. And so all of that would be factored into future considerations for the model in this body.
Okay, any other comments on the wastewater? Are we in a consensus that we are 15 and 15% for the first 2 years? Is that what I'm hearing and seeing?
I agree with that.
Okay. Anybody disagree with that? Okay, let's move on then to, I guess, water.
Hey, Mr. Chair, where I recall us leaving off in water was proposed rate adjustments of 0% for the first 2 years. Again, looking at a five-year picture, and then 4% annual adjustments for the next 3 years. And that is issuing $20 million in debt. Sudhir, again, I'm going to lean on you. I think that was in year two.
In FY24. That's the third year.
Third year. That I remember the third year, yeah.
Can you see my screen?
Yeah, we see you now.
Yeah, we're looking here, yeah. That is in FY24.
I thought that we talked also about what I mentioned up front there, was that no rate increase for the next 2 years, and then considering the master plans and everything else to consider what the rate increase might be for the next several years. And I would not agree to the 4% for the next 3 years until we have the master plans.
I would agree that. I would even go so far as to say that, you know, we're going to recommend, I think, according to the recommendations made by staff so far, no increase for the next two, meet in 12 months, and then we might even consider reconsider that second 0%, even, you know, in 22. Or actually it would be, no. Yeah, it would be going into effect someplace July, August of 22, perhaps. Or we could leave it till 23. And beyond.
So I have the same question on this. If we take on no debt, what would the rate look like?
So here's the, if you don't have any debt, you can see what happens. Basically, no revenue adjustments for the first 2 years.
No, I meant, what would the increase be? Kind of like the same question as before.
Hello.
Take the debt out.
You see what happens here. You need to, if you still want to have no increase for the first 2 years, then we probably need to go to, and you barely run out of cash basically in 25 with 12% adjustments.
And that's in the third and fourth year. Is that, or is it the fifth? And
in the fourth year, basically, you run out of cash.
So I guess I'm curious to know, is it better to have no increases now or some now and then less later?
That's a political decision or staff decision, whether they want to do that. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say it's really a philosophical question. If you look at what Sudhir has on the screen right now, if you did no adjustments and took no debt, if you took no debt and did no rate adjustments for the first 2 years, you'd be looking at a 12% in water and potentially a 15% in sewer in the same year. So there's that consideration as well.
Let me just clarify again, I think what did one of Dick's comments are. Sudhir, if you look at the FY 2021 in column M, that's a rate increase looking at July of 21. So that's the beginning of the 21-22 fiscal year.
No. That is July of 21 is this increase year. So we are already in fiscal year 21. That happened in July of 20. So we don't have any rate increase here. We didn't do any revenue adjustment in FY 21. So the first year that we are looking at would be here in July 21.
Can you go back down to wastewater real quick? Where it was? Put the 15% back in where they were. It was there. Okay. Got it.
And just to make sure we all understand, what you're looking at now is 15% rate adjustments with no debt.
Right. I understand. I just want to make sure where the fiscal years were for sure.
For water for the first 2 years, instead of zero, well, we just put in maybe 3% for each of those 2 years.
So Sudhir, I think what Ernest is suggesting is if you had a standard annual rate increase of 3% over the 5 years, what would that look like? Or some other equivalent rate adjustment year over year?
Yeah, 3% is good.
Need to.
You're looking at your wastewater.
Sorry, you're looking at the charts. So here's the water equation. So if you went with, let's try that again. If you did 3% without any debt, you are running negative over here. But if you did 4%, you run out in the last year of the plan, and if you did 5%, you could get by without any issue of any debt.
So if you did the 3%, to say for the next 2 years, then hopefully the master plan comes in with maybe a new rate development. We don't really know what's going to happen to 2024, 2025, and 2026. But at least it's something.
Yeah, I think if you can tolerate the big increase in sewer and have this minimal increases in water, I think that would be, again, just a question of the impact on the customer.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is once if you go zero for the 2 years, you get 15% on wastewater. The next thing you know, year three, citizens of Redlands are going to get hit again. So I know it's a juggling game, and there's a lot of what ifs. So, okay, thank you.
Yeah, and maybe I could add to that as well. Ross did a little research, and just to give you some general numbers, and I could qualify this 100 different ways, but they're the average resident would pay an additional $2.64 per bill for a 3% water rate increase. And let me get to the sewer page. So a 15% increase for the typical residential bill would be about $7.50, $7.51 or something like that.
Yeah, 776.
Just put those numbers out.
I got a question. These are per month rate or bi-monthly?
Bi-monthly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Right in front of me.
One of the assumptions is that the full CIP that was developed is in the model is implemented. I noticed that there's $5 million per year in pipeline replacements and $2 million in meter replacements per year. I mean, that's a substantial part of the CIP. We had looked at if 75% of the CIP was implemented, I think in water. I don't know about wastewater, but what would that do? There's some discretion here in terms
right
of...
Right now...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Now we have got 100% funding for all the CIP projects. You don't have 75% anymore, yeah.
That's my point, that we've got 100%. You know, if we went somewhat smaller, I asked a question though last time about whether we need every one of these projects, and the staff's response was yes. They've sorted these, they need them. So it's not like there's any fluff in this, the CIP estimate, I don't think, but there are some discretionary projects in there probably that could be delayed a year or two. But I've noticed that there is like $5 million a year for water pipeline replacement. And while I agree that that's probably necessary and that's the number, it still can be somewhat discretionary. Just a point.
Yeah, I think one of the things we talked about, this is, there's a lot of variables, I think, especially in my mind, there's a lot of variables here yet. Ernie, I don't know if you've heard some of the previous discussions we've had, but the water fund currently has a lot of cash. Some of it's already encumbered. Some of it, as Sudhir is showing in his model, it does go down. But there's, I guess speaking from city council point, I'm not city council anymore, but... The city just implemented the 19, 11, and 10% rates that are very fresh in people's mind. I know the last one was 18. Looking at, giving them an increase right away is not going to be received by them well at all from a political standpoint. That was one of the reasons I think we did the zero and zero, and let us have time to come back in the next 12 months, after 12 months, and look at this again with all of the comments that we're currently making to see if there's the same numbers or if they get adjusted one way or another. And to my way of thinking, I think that's still the wisest way to go. That's just kind of where I feel right now. So I understand what happens, earlier, smaller increases earlier, generally mean smaller increases in the future. But I think we need to really look at this after the new master plans are done. I know that John and staff have just redone the CIP models that are in, the estimates that are in here, and they feel very, very good about those numbers. I would guess, and I don't know, but I would guess that they've actually, some of the things we looked at before, Dick, when we had the large CIP list, and we were only doing 75%. that has been looked at, not from a full master plan, but that has been looked at for the CIP. So, you know, they're
I think that's what I understand too. Yeah.
Yeah. They're really reasonable right now, I think, from this is what we need to do. But I would again ask staff, you know, when we come back, you know, in 12 months, please look at that to see if they are in fact preventive maintenance items, or is the water system itself in need of a big, influx of cash to do some really maybe delayed things we shouldn't have delayed. But that's something I think we should look at very deeply in the next one. But I think right now I'm still of the opinion that 0-0 for the first 2 years.
I agree with that.
Is that something that per year, for the CIP? I mean, is that even sustainable for city staff to, you know, get the design, get the construction out?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a lot of work to get those projects out.
Yeah, I work for a big city, and I tell you what, it's hard getting that, those projects out.
Yeah, you're totally right, Ernest.
Yeah, it's a great question, and just to kind of tell you how we began the CIP planning process, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think the first look that I had at the first year of the CIP, we pared the project list down from something like 27 water projects in that first year to what we have today, which I think is more like 18 or 19. We've also done things like, I have not in my career had a lot of success designing and constructing, or trying to design and construct major Uber projects in the same year. Best laid plans, it always looks great on paper, and my experience is it doesn't typically work well. So the CIP that you have before you today splits those phases of a project up. I've had a lot of success in my career designing things in 1 year and really refining the engineering and the cost estimates so that we can budget appropriately and construct whatever that thing is in the second year. I'm confident, and perhaps I take it as a challenge, but I'm confident that we can get all the projects in the CIP list done as they're presented. And I'll just give you one example. Again, I don't have the plan in front of me, but I think year one of our proposed CIP has something like 5 well rehab projects. We've already begun drafting the RFP for that. My intent would be on a July fiscal, I've had a lot of success in going through the procurement process ahead of the fiscal year. Qualifying language, of course, would be included in the bid package that say something like everything is subject to council approval of budgets. You get to the second meeting in June, council approves the budget as item number 7 on the agenda. Items 8 through 15 are usually approval of construction contracts or design contracts for all of our various projects. So we as a staff had talked about the need to hit the ground running early this year. It's the kind of, I like to run fast paced like that. I don't think it's an unrealistic plan that we've put in front of you.
Yeah, let me just add one other thing, Ernie, that if I could just, let me add one other thing that John Harris talked about at the last meeting. When we first started this, we were on this UAC, we had the director of the utilities, Paul Tour. Now we're in our actually fifth change of leadership in that department since we started this UAC. John Harris is very new, obviously, and I think he's doing an excellent job, and he's getting his hands around these things. But giving him a few more months to actually fully get him around, I think, is wise before we really look at the out years here, even in year two, what these rates should be. Also, you have to consider, I think, from a management standpoint, and if I look at it from that way, we had a city manager change at the end of FY18, or not the FY calendar 18. Then we went through the next year with the kind of a management team, and then Charlie came on here just a year ago. So we've got some all new management and all the department and citywide, and I they're doing an excellent job in my opinion, but we need to give them some more time to really. I think be as comfortable as they can be. I know they are pretty comfortable right now, but at the end of this calendar year, they should have a much better handle, especially with the master plans, as to what really we need to do going forward. And that's another reason why I'd like to just wait, go the 00 and then come back in January of 22 and look real hard at what has to happen in that year 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So let me ask you,
perhaps,
master plan.
Sorry, go ahead, Ernest.
Is the master plan being worked on right now?
It is, and all of the master plans are anticipated for completion in October or November of this year, this calendar year.
So is both the water and wastewater under one consultant, or are they different consultants?
We have two consultants. Which one is doing which?
Michael Baker is Michael Baker, right?
Michael Baker
is doing water, potable, and non-potable water.
So we have Michael Baker doing both of the water plans and a different consultant doing the wastewater plan.
Dudek
is doing the wastewater. And to put your mind at ease about the turnover, to inject a little humor, I just picked up the keys to my Redlands house about 2 hours ago. So unless Charlie knows something that I don't know, I'm hopeful that I'm going to be here for a while.
Congratulations on picking up the keys, John.
No surprises here, John. You're doing a great job.
The day's not over yet, though, so let's get through this.
I just have a question here. When did you say it was going to be done?
I'm looking around the room, and the date I recall is November of this year, of this calendar year, November of 21. That's for all three of the plans.
And John James, are you still here?
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Good. So I just wanted to make a comment. So I agreed with your comment you just made right now, but the subsequent one, or the one before the previous one, the only reason I asked about what would it look like if we increased this year was because I was worried that if we had no increase in 22-23, that maybe the next years would be, you know, really bad. And then plus I wanted to know what it would look like if there was no bond or no debt incurred. That was it.
Okay.
It wasn't because I really want one. Trying to look at all the, you know, all the angles, right?
Yep. Appreciate that. Okay. Does that include, or that finish all of the funds that we need to talk about? Is there?
I think that takes care of all of the. At least I think we have a consensus, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, on the rate structures, the recommendations for the three funds.
Just want to double check on the water for the rate increase, 00444. I mean, I know we're not doing much for the last 3 years, but is that the three-quarter pipe?
I think what you're asking is, does that rate apply to all users regardless of the size of your water service? I'm sorry, could you ask the question again?
Yeah, actually, I think I see it down below now. It says assumes 25 units and 3/4 meters. I'm looking at this one right here. It's a single-family residential.
Water rates remain unchanged, so there is no impact from water to water customers.
Right, but then I'm saying, but I'm just asking for the years 24, 25, and 26. It is assuming just the typical 3/4 meter or pipe, whatever you call it.
It goes, meter, the rate increase will go across all users.
Yeah, I know. I was just asking, is this the average for the 3/4?
Oh.
Right, because everybody has something different.
Yeah, for the water, it takes into account the average size meter of 3/4.
Okay.
And so you have that in the model, right?
I'm not sure you calculated the impacts on water.
It's on the rates. It's on the rates tab, Sadir, over to the right further.
Right there.
If you scroll down a little bit.
Yeah, I have to first modify the dashboard again to represent what we actually did, which is 20 million debt in this year.
So you're in 24, your meter charge would go up from $32.10, or for a 3/4 inch meter, it would increase by $1 and about 70 cents, 73 cents. And the rates would go up, shown here. Goes up 6 cents on the first year, 8 cents on the second year, 11 cents on the last year.
That's for usage, but that's not the, that's, yeah, okay.
Does that get your question, Christine? You're muted. You're muted.
So sorry. I think he shows the 3/4 up above, so I think that's what I was asking, yes.
Okay, once again, does that finish the discussions we have on the water, wastewater, non-potable water? So that we could go down to new business and actually vote to make a recommendation on these three funds individually. I think that's where we are in the agenda. Is everyone comfortable with that? Anybody not comfortable with that? Anyone want to speak up?
John, when do we consider the development fees, the recommendation that be reviewed? Is that a new item?
This UAC will not, I don't think, make any recommendations formally for development fees. We can add that to our presentation to council, I think, and my, you know, that'd be my take, is that that can be relayed to council as one of the things that this committee talked about, was the need to review those and adjust as necessary.
Right, yep.
That would be basically a comment or a note in our final recommendation in writing and in our recommendation as we stand before them.
We have one other item on miscellaneous fees.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you want to discuss that now or wait until after you finished doing the rates recommendations.
Why don't we do the recommendations? That's the way they're listed on the agenda.
Okay.
We have new business A, B, and C, which are discussion and possible recommendations for water, wastewater, and non-potable, respectively. So let me just go ahead and open the new business item A, recommendation for water rates. The staff and Raftellis is recommending at this point 0% year one and 0% year two.
I'll move the approval of that.
Okay, we have a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve a 0% year one and two by Dick Cornet and a second by Monty Dill. Jane, can you call the roll, please?
Christine Roque?
Aye.
John James?
Yes.
Dick Cornet?
Yes.
Monty Dill?
Yes.
Ernest Marquez?
Yes.
Rich Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
That unanimously voted to recommend those rates for water. So the next item is wastewater rate model, recommendation of wastewater rates. So again, staff has recommended for the first 2 years of 15% and 15%. Is there a motion to move those that way, in those two rates? Nobody wants to move that?
Come on, Rich.
I'm following your guys' lead.
Yeah, come on, Rich. Get in the action here.
Sure, I'll make the motion to watch it die.
Is there a second? Well, then I'll second it.
There you go.
How about that? Okay, we have a motion by Rich Smith for 15-15, and John James seconded it. All in favor, or Jane, please call that roll.
Chris Smith?
Yes.
Ernest Marquez?
Yes.
Monty Dill?
Yes.
Dick Cornet?
Yes.
Don James?
Yes.
Christine Roque?
Aye.
You went backwards. I was going to say yes before I should have. Okay, but okay. So we have a unanimous vote on the wastewater rates. So the next one is non-potable. Staff again recommending non-potable rates to leave unchanged, 0% and 0% for years 1 and 2. Is there a motion to move that one?
Your turn, Christine. Come on. Ernest.
I'll do it.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. Have a motion by Ernest Marquez and a second by Rich Smith. Jane, please call the roll.
Christine Roque?
Aye.
Don James?
Yes.
Dick Cornet?
Yes.
Monty Dill?
Yes.
Ernest Marquez?
Yes.
Rich Smith?
Yes.
Okay, again, we're unanimous on those recommendations. So now, we're down to D, which is discussion possible recommendations of miscellaneous fees and charges.
Okay, so just quickly bring you back the memory from last time. The UAC reviewed these fees last year and recommended to file and report to the city council. We haven't updated these fees the time that we presented them last time, except for a couple of them, which is based on the changes or recommendations, which is based on regulatory requirements of SB 98, which limits the amount of fees that we can charge for reconnecting connections. That's two of the same day turn on is limited to $50 during working hours, and if it's standby call, it's $150. So those are the only two changes. They went down because of that regulatory requirement. And these fees are all, again, to remind you, they're based on cost of service. So whatever it costs us to provide that service is how we determine these fees.
Is this a Prop 218?
They are not subject to Prop 218 per se, because they are for services rendered,
okay.
They're not a general fee. Everybody doesn't have to be paying these fees. But since we are doing a 218 notice, you might put it on the 218 notice. Generally, we don't necessarily include them in a 218 notice.
If I remember correctly from last year, these were presented to us, and I was the one that mentioned that I don't think this was under our purview as a committee, and I didn't feel comfortable voting for something like this.
Okay, well, again, one other thing about these fees, just to be clear, these are not fees that automatically get charged to people. These are fees that get charged when someone actually requests a service. Is that correct? If staff want to correct that, or?
That's right.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
So shouldn't this just go to the council? I mean, if this is not part of what it says for what our committee is supposed to do? Or is this just an extra?
I don't know that answer. I'm comfortable saying, this is what staff recommends or sees as the current costs, and taking these to council and recommending that they impose it, that they actually put these fees into effect, increase the fees. They go through a bunch of fees every year, and I'm not sure whether, apparently these were not in there. So since they were not in there, general fee increases.
Well, these are substantial. These are really substantial fee increases in various areas. And without any backup or discussion or presentation, I'm not comfortable either in recommending approval of these fees. Look at the one for outside case fee, minor projects, from $50 to $1,924.
Yep.
My God. I mean, what if we're supposed to be logically looking at these, we need some backup. We just can't have a table thrown in front of us and not have any supporting evidence of why these fees go up by that amount.
Well, if these are fees that are directly related to what it costs nowadays, show me something that costs $50.
Well, I'm not saying that.
No, I get your point, though.
By 1924, I mean, that's 20 times what it is today. Does that sound, I don't know.
I get your point. If it's not a round number, somebody had to calc it. So, yeah, it's not arbitrary being 924.
Well, that's probably true, but
yeah, somebody's,
what's the basis for it?
Somebody's calc'd it, so you're right.
I mean...
Yeah, I'm not disputing the fees necessarily. I just feel like I personally don't feel comfortable saying, yes, we should, you know, raise these fees. Just kind of like we don't even have the diff fees updated. So where's the, you know, the comparison there?
When were these fees instituted?
1942, by the looks of the pricing.
Yeah.
I believe they were last updated with the last UAC.
No, they were not.
Not the outside city case fees haven't been updated for a number of years.
None of these have been updated for a number of years. None of these miscellaneous fees and charges have been updated. I'd have to look back in the prior UAC recommendations, but it goes back probably a decade. They've been staying the same.
Let me ask staff, and maybe, I don't know, you both to John and Charlie. These are fees. They are not rates, per se. Isn't this something that could just go straight to council without going through the UAC?
I believe that's correct. The rates are termed property related rates that if you own property, you are required to pay certain amounts, and those are subject to Proposition 218. And I believe that's the main charge of this group. What we can do is look at these fees, and if we bring a recommendation straight to the city council, or we get guidance from the city council to possibly bring this back to you guys the next time you convene and give you a full briefing, as Dick's talking about, and justification for any rate changes for you to consider.
I like that idea.
Obviously, I agree.
Nothing's obvious in this world, Dick. The older you get, the more I know nothing is obvious. So. Except that tomorrow I'm a day older. That I know is going to happen. But other than that, nothing.
They definitely need to be reviewed and increased, it would seem, but without any background or any discussion, we need to see some evidence, I think. That's our charge as a committee, to see if these are reasonable. And if without any backup, you can't do that. Can't do our job.
Did the previous UAC, or probably a couple more back in the years, did they recommend the fees that are instituted now?
Ernest, I'd have to check and see. But in my research, it was probably a decade or so when the miscellaneous fees and charges ended up being placed on there, and I believe they were placed on the Prop 218 notice that had gone out, and these are fees that are a part of the ordinance where all of the water and sewer and non-potable rates are included when they go in to be changed and taken to council in the public hearing documents. So there's a whole list of all of these fees and charges that are in the code, and I think that's why they're not on like a general fee resolution. they're part of the water and the sewer ordinances.
Well, I would feel more comfortable if we had the backup documentation for, you know, how the fees were, you know, set, the new ones.
Let me go back to, I think, if I understood Charlie correctly, maybe this committee should go ahead and officially recommend to staff that they present these rate increases to council. And if council comes back and says, okay, we don't want to do that, we want to refer it back to UAC, then we do that. But otherwise, I think all the other fees that I'm familiar with, all the development fees, all of the, you know, those are all prepared by staff and then presented to council. And I think that's what I would recommend right now, is that staff take these to council and see what they say. Is that fair, Charlie?
Honestly, that sounds like the best approach.
I agree.
Okay. Then let's just say that we need a motion that the miscellaneous fees and charges, we recommend that staff take those to council to implement and or give other direction back to staff as to how they want them discussed. Is there a second to that motion? I mean, is there a motion to such effect?
I'll move.
And I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion by Monty Dill and a second by Christine. Jane, can you call the roll?
Christine Roque?
Yes.
On James?
Yes.
Dick Cornet?
No.
Dick Cornet?
No.
Ernest Marquez?
Yes.
Rich Smith?
Yes.
So we have a 5-1 vote to have staff take these to council, and then we'll see where we go from there. Okay. That brings us down to, I guess, the last item, which is possible agenda items for next meeting, if applicable. We've officially made our recommendations. As I would remember from past UACs, it's now time to get ready to actually present to council. Prior to the wastewater treatment plant having its failure, we were prepared to make some recommendations to council, and we were going to present those. I was going to present those for the entire committee in a PowerPoint presentation. I think Sudhir was going to follow up with more detail, and then staff could add any other detail behind that. In addition, I guess we would probably have a written report or something to go along with the PowerPoint for their agenda, on their agenda item. Is that still a reasonable way forward here? Is that what makes sense, Sudhir and John?
Yeah, I think that's the right approach, and we'll obviously support at the staff level in any way you need.
Okay.
Prepare the presentation and the report, yes.
And again, Sudhir, if I went first, that would be kind of a summary of everything at a very high level, and then that would allow the council to get that level. Then you could present the details, and they could ask questions of you and staff at that point. I think that's kind of the way we had it set up. I guess that's the way I would propose that we set it up this time.
We are not doing any revenue adjustments on water and non-potable water, and no rate adjustments per se. Our 218 notice will only cover wastewater. In terms of the presentation, you would basically try to let council know that we are not doing anything water and non-potable, and would that be the, and so be presenting mostly on wastewater then?
The major part of the presentation, as I have it developed, and I would propose I'm use the same one I have, just changed the charts essentially and some of the other little details. But yes, most of it is on wastewater. Yeah. But I think we wanted to for sure tell them we had the discussions about water, and how we came up with 00, right. And that there are some out year issues there that they need to be aware of, and these will come to light either, you know, in the next UAC meetings. But I think, you know, we definitely want to say 00 because that's what they're recommending. However, we want to, if I was on council, I'd want to be totally informed as to what you think the vision out there in out years are. So that's the way I would be making the presentation. Okay. With that, last time what we did is I outlined and drafted a presentation. We got that sent out to staff. At that time we were meeting in person, but so again, I would propose that I do that. And have some kind of a draft presentation that staff could send out to you that you could comment on to see if we actually put it together correctly. Also have a written report that I suppose that would go with it. As we did last time, we had everyone comment on that before we finalized it. So I'm looking at Sudhir's schedule here that sometime in February is when all those are going to be finalized for Raftellus. Is that correct?
Yes, the plan right now is to provide you the draft report mid-February, get your comments within 8 to 10 days, and then do an update the final report in the next few days, yeah.
So those draft reports are coming to us or to the council? Or to us? To staff?
The draft reports will only go to staff and to UAC. Yeah, they won't go to council. The council gets a final report in the beginning of March.
Okay, so I can have, and we'll have then a PowerPoint based upon what I think I hear. And if we need to change it based upon your draft report, we can do that. Does that seem like a acceptable approach to everybody? All the committee members first?
We'll have a chance to look at the council report. I mean, the written report or something. That's what you indicated, John, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You're definitely going to see my report, and Sudhir says that he'll have their draft report to us around the 18th of February. And we have a couple of weeks to comment on those, and then they'll get a final report out to us in March, to staff and to this committee. That's what I understand.
Sudhir, I know this is a little thing, but on your PowerPoint, do you need to change that to 127?
Oh, yes, this one date here, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was from last time. We were supposed to meet on Thursday, I guess. So, yeah.
Okay, is staff comfortable with moving forward that way? Staff got any comments?
No, we agree. And that's the cleanest approach.
Okay. Then I will be getting to work for sure. Any other thing that the committee members have for any additional agenda items other than what we've already talked about that would go into reports and obviously maybe the next UAC committees?
Yeah, I was curious about that. I think this committee is officially over because in April or something, and there
May,
will be a
May.
New UAC
May.
Committee? Okay,
May.
So we have to reapply for that, I assume, huh?
I would guess, yeah, we have to all reapply.
Okay. All right.
Whenever this committee officially dissolves, I guess in May, and then when council decides they want to reconvene a new one, then we would have to reapply for that.
Okay.
And clearly that will be in my report that this committee is recommending that they reconvene in December or January here coming up in 2021-22.
Will you also include that we're hoping they look at the developer impact fees?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
And just from the staff perspective, I would encourage each of you to participate in the future UACs. You have done just an amazing job.
There's a lot of qualified people in this town you're going to find, John. There's... You know, and congratulations on getting the keys for your house.
Thank you.
That's a commitment. That's good.
Yeah. And let me just add, if you look around your neighborhood, you'll probably find some very qualified people who could serve on this committee. So the city is full, the city is rich in volunteers and expertise. It really is. But thank you for the comments and the, you know, for to this committee. We appreciate that. Okay, then I guess we are ready to adjourn. And let me just for sure officially thank everybody for all of the work they've done on this committee since beginning, and Monty for coming in when he did and picking up. As I've said when I was on Planning Commission and Council, and also, you know, the colleagues are very good at what they do, and I want to officially thank staff for making actually our work really quite easy. Yes, we have difficult decisions. We have some interesting discussions, but being on any of these committees, on the council, on Planning Commission, for me has been actually very easy compared, you know, because of all the staff work. So again, thank you to staff for that. And thank you committee members for all of your diligence. And Sudhir, thank you and Lauren for all your work.
I'd like to say the same. Thank you. Appreciate having the opportunity to work with this talented group of UC members. Yeah, we've always had that, like you said, very experienced and well-versed UAC members.
Okay, so with that,
John James, I just want to thank you too for putting all those reports together. So I know it takes a lot of time, so thank you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
I'm glad you're the chair, John.
Glad I'm the chair?
I'm glad you're the chair.
You get to vote for a new chair when a new committee comes. So.
Well, I think you're going to be
everybody.
There.
You know, everybody's welcome.
We'll make that motion right now to put you as the next chair.
Okay, that's not on the agenda, so that's not something we can actually officially take up. Staff need anything more from the committee before we adjourn? Jane, are you good?
We're good.
Okay. Then we will officially adjourn. Now that we're adjourned, let me just go off topic for a minute. Since Ross is here and John, you guys are in charge of the Paris program where we resurfaced all the streets in town, or a lot of the streets in town. I just have one question on garden. All of the manhole covers were lifted back up to street level with a little cement collar around them, except one. And it's a bump I hit every time I go up Garden. It's right at the lower end of Franklin, just outside of Prospect Park.
Ross told me that you live nearby there, so we left one that was a little lower.
I keep telling myself how I can go either over it or around it. And in a car, I keep missing it in the car. On my bicycle, it's easy. I miss it all the time.
But let us take a look at that. Thank you for the information.
Anyway, just, you know, before Maddox goes away altogether, if this is something they forgot or if there's some reason, but it seems to be down about 2 inches. So it's a pretty good bump if you hit it. Anyway, thank you for letting me bring that up. So again, good night, everybody. And thank you again for everything. We'll see you. See, you want to get my reports done, and you'll be hearing from me by email. I'll send them to staff, and staff can get them out for you, because I think that's a better way to do it for Brown Act and other things. Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night,
Kevin, can I stay on with you real quick? I don't know if you got my email, but I just need to save the audio or save the recording. That I can probably do it from here, but I didn't want to have both of us trying to do something at the same time.
I don't know that you would have been recording unless you were saying you were recording.
Oh, no. I mean, once we leave, once we end the meeting, it'll give us that option to save the meeting recording, and we usually save it to a file.
Right. as a host, but I'm saying I don't know if you could do it from your from where you're at, because you're not hosting.
Right.
I don't think you'd get that option.
But okay, all right.
No, I'm so aware that you save it, so I'll be saving it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. It took well, this was not as long of a meeting. It's about 45 minutes short of the last meeting, but I think it took about 25 minutes for it to upload.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to, if it's okay for me to leave the meeting, or if you want me to stick around here and I'll, if you want me to finish hosting.
No, you leave.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it. So you're not going to see anything.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate your help.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Bye.